Today is Sunday, February 3rd, 2019, and this...
It wasn't until several months later, while on vacation in Las Vegas, that the conversations became more interesting.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 679.
Las Vegas, Nevada! Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you doing on this lovely Super Bowl Sunday?
I'm a little feisty.
Are you? All right. That makes for a good show.
I'm not sure how this is going to go.
Well, you just let her rip. No need to hold back anything.
Okay.
I like when you're feisty. We have a lot to talk about. I feel like we haven't done a show in a while, even though it's only been a week.
That's how I feel. Like,
it feels really good to get behind the mic. I'm like, we were just doing this last week.
I know. Last week was so long.
I know it was.
It was a combination of things, but it felt like a month.
Yeah. Well, we were still coming off of the post-trip buzz, and then, you know,
I have never wished I was back in Vegas so hard as I have.
I know, right?
You combine last week.
You combine that with shitty weather here and you know, just
and dealing with
jumping back into the work and all that stuff. So, well, we are today begins a better week. That's what I say, because we get to talk about all kinds of great Las Vegas stuff. We have some really interesting things to talk about, and we've got a really great lineup of phone calls later on, too.
So
I'm kind of excited as I was putting together show notes earlier this week. Like, this is going to be fun. Before we jump into the news, we want to thank our Patreon supporters for their ongoing support of this podcast, including folks such as, we have a special one this week.
Mm-hmm.
Jess, on behalf of her boyfriend, Brandon Norberg. So that's I think the first time we've had somebody become a Patreon patron for somebody's birthday.
Oh, so happy birthday, Brandon.
You've got an awesome girlfriend. All right. Johnny Illion. Thank you, Johnny. Jessica Gross and Dan Smith. Thank you to these and all of our Patreon patrons.
I like how Smith is in quotes.
It's not really Smith. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
His real name is something else, and he had mercy on me, and he put what his name was. And then after that, he said, pronounce Smith. So thank you, Dan, for having mercy on me and not forcing me to pronounce a name. Although it is kind of a sport mispronouncing people's mm-hmm. names. He just didn't want the pain of having to listen to his name butchered. So anyway, thanks to all of our Patreon patrons. We do appreciate it. If you want to support the show on a monthly basis, you're going to get some bonus content as a way of saying thank you. We're about due for another online live chat thingy, don't you think?
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe we'll line one of those up for later in the month. We've got some other stuff coming, too. I've got to get working on a thing I want to roll out here soon for some of our Patreon folks. Patreon.com/500 is the place to go for details, and we thank you for your support. Okay, a bunch of news. We have kind of a running theme throughout the news this week. A lot of the stories involve rebranding, new names, new images, that sort of stuff. And there's a bunch of them, and I lumped some of them together here, and then throughout the news, it seems like it just keeps coming up. Sort of odd that we have that kind of theme. Okay, so some of this stuff we've talked about before, but it's become official. Let's start with Total Rewards. That, of course, is the Caesars Players Club. It's been named Total Rewards for a long time. We discussed this a while ago, that it was going to become Caesars Rewards. I think the first indication was when I found a trademark filing in September or something. We mentioned it, and then it was alluded to in an email they sent out or a statement they sent out a couple months ago. Well, now it's official. As of 2 days ago or 3 days ago, February 1st, they have rolled out Caesars Rewards. They're not really changing anything in terms of the Players Club itself other than the name. It makes a lot of sense that they would tie it in with their actual company name. So that is happening. I would imagine for a while you'll see both Total Rewards and Caesars Rewards because it takes a while to change all this stuff over. That is happening. Another change that Caesars is making, and this I have to give a shout out to Justin on our Facebook group. He noticed this in, it must have been in an email or one of the web pages, and posted a screenshot on the Facebook group.
This is useful info, unlike something I read earlier.
This is useful. You will occasionally find some non-useful info on our Facebook group. This is
useful. This is good.
Useful information. And I think there might be more to it than just what's on the surface. The Caesars property Diamond Lounges are no longer called Diamond Lounges. They're now called VIP Laurel Lounges.
What the fuck?
Okay, so a couple things.
I told you I was feisty.
Laurel.
I should replace feisty with salty. I don't know why. I should be in a good mood, but I'm a little salty.
We'll get
today.
You there. By the end of the show, you'll be in a good mood.
Okay.
Well, the Laurel Collection is a brand that Caesars uses for its suites, for some of its suites and its more upscale rooms.
Okay.
Although nobody calls it that.
No.
I don't. But if you look at, for example, if you look at the Caesars Palace room offerings, it will say, like, Augustus Tower, the Laurel Collection Augustus Tower in the room.
Do you get a wreath?
Name? Yeah, a wreath.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a wreath involved in that. So the so they're tying it into that, the Laurel Collection, the Laurel Lounges. I am wondering about this rename. So there's been a movement at Caesars in the last couple years to...
A bowel movement?
A little bit, as far as the players are concerned. They're being shat upon. You might remember that, I think it was last year when the new Players Club benefits were rolled out. Mm-hmm. I think that might have been when they made the change where the Diamond Lounges weren't free for all Diamond members. You had to have, I think, 25,000 points or something. Otherwise, you have to pay the equivalent of a $10 entry fee in addition to being Diamond.
So if you're not Diamond, you can't get in at all.
Right, unless you're a guest.
Yeah. If you're Diamond, below a certain tier, you have to pay. If you're above a certain tier, then it's free.
Right. But I wonder now if this is an evolution of the Diamond Lounges away from being tied to the Players Club entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps they'll become tied to your room type if you're staying in one of the Laurel Collection rooms, maybe.
It's like a VIP lounge.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to take some time. It might be a multi-year plan, if that's what they have in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they've completely pulled the Diamond name off that tells me there might be something more going on with that. Mm-hmm. We shall see, or used as incentives for other things. I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But
we had some fun in the Diamond Lounges back
in
the day.
Oh, I did. Back in our glory days, back in our peak drinking years.
We had
many a good time. I'm glad that we had that experience when we did.
Me too.
Because
it would be wasted on me now.
It would be wasted on me now too. I can't do it anymore. I can't live to that level anymore.
Yeah.
So fond memories of the Diamond Lounges though. All right, moving along, another rebranding note. Stratosphere, and this is something we discussed a while ago, they have officially announced they are the Strat. Actually, the full name...
this is good.
The full name is The Strat Hotel, Casino, and SkyPod.
Sky
and I
Wheel?
Say it like that because Strat is all caps. So, not Skywheel. We'll get to that in a second. So, a while ago we discussed that they'd been changing out signage and stuff, and I kind of speculated, well, I think they're probably just trying to hip it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think they'd really...
Go full on with the name change?
Yeah, I thought it would be a thing. Like, for a while, wasn't Excalibur... referring to the castle, or
yeah.
Luxor was the pyramid. It was like a sub-brand kind of thing. No, they're with their current owners who bought the place a couple of years ago and have been remodeling. They're going with the Strat. Now we'll see if it sticks.
Or the Strat.
The Strat.
All caps, no trademarksable.
It reminds me of the Treasure Island shift to TI though, which yeah, they have some signage that says TI and stuff, but it's still Treasure Island.
Yeah, except they took down the cool-ass skull and got rid
they did
of the
that.
Pirate show.
They did some things, but they were trying to make it a younger, hipper kind of...
Mm-hmm. They do have gillies.
And if that's not young and hip, I don't know what is. So yes, and they've also given the SkyPod name to the... At the top of the tower, they have the multi-level entertainment
restaurant
pod,
lounge and thrill rides,
all that stuff, observation deck. So that's all part of the
SkyPod.
Visit to SkyPod. And I was happy to see in the announcement they did not use the word immersive at all, which is wonderful.
But
they used iconic a lot. Now iconic is a immersive is a short term, like
we'll be done with immersive in a couple years.
Yeah,
right?
It's a game changer. It's the same thing as game changer. It's going to drive us nuts for 3 or 4 years, and then we'll be pretty much done with it.
And moved on to something else that annoys the fuck out of us.
Iconic is a consistent overuse by the publicity folks.
Yes.
They've been using it for years. Now, this at least, the Stratosphere Tower, I would argue that it is iconic in that it's always in the skyline, shots of Vegas. It's very familiar. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts when iconic is used for something brand new. Mm-hmm. Which happens a lot. I know, like, when the Vikings Stadium opened a couple years ago, they're referring to it as iconic before it opened. It can't be iconic if it just opened. That's not... Publicists, get a fucking dictionary before you start spewing out this massive amount of bull crap that you shit out in press releases on a daily basis. We have publicists who listen to our show faithfully, and they won't admit it because they don't like what we have to say. But they listen every week, and that's all
truth,
that matters.
Damn it.
They're afraid of the truth. They like when we shit on their competition, though. Mm-hmm. That's what the show does. We speak the truth. Okay, so, yes, SkyPod, Strat. I was a little disappointed that they didn't rebrand the rotating restaurant Top of the World as the Sky Wheel.
Uh-huh.
That would have been perfect.
That would have been.
Of course, it's already taken by a slot machine, but what the hell. I'm still obsessed with the Sky Wheel.
I know.
Okay, that's going to end, though. I can tell when it's going to end. Not necessarily because the machine is mean to me, because now everybody who listens to the show is going to feel obligated to send me pictures whenever they're playing the fucking Sky Wheel.
Oh.
Yeah. It's kind of like when, you know, you're a kid and you know, your favorite, like you have a favorite baseball team, and then for the next 46 years, every gift you get is related to that team, even though you haven't liked them since you were 13.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those deals.
Like the Vikings?
Like Hall & Oates. Remember Hall & Oates stuff in the early years of this podcast and bacon stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And it's much like immersive. It'll go away in a couple of years, but by then I'm going to be so over it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay. Okay, the quote from the about why they're doing this from the executive VP and COO of Stratosphere. We have developed a new brand that speaks to the fun and excitement of this grand transformation, and we are thrilled to announce the Strat!
That says nothing.
No, it doesn't. It's PR speak.
That's a lot of words.
Also, the gentleman who's credited on that, Steve Arcana, I guarantee he didn't say that. It was written for him by some PR schmuck from Golden Entertainment, the owner of the Stratosphere. Oh, I'm sorry. The Strat! they've been going through a bunch of remodels. So, some new restaurants, room renovations, casino revamp, all kinds of stuff down there. We haven't talked much about it because of Stratosphere. Who really gives a shit? But... you know, if you're into that place, you've probably noticed an updated look. And a similar thing is going on at SLS. So let's roll into our discussion of SLS. They've been going through a $100 million renovation.
Within walking distance of the Strat.
I know. It's like less than a mile away. And the president of SLS, Paul Hobson, he gave an update to the press about the property's renovations. He indicated they're probably going to blow well past the $100 million mark for their renovations. So that's great. I'm glad they're putting money into it. They've got a lot going on there. Casino renovations are well underway. They're brightening the place up. They're putting in a proper ceiling. They're making it look like an actual room and not like a warehouse.
Okay.
It looks good based on what I've seen. I'm looking forward to checking it out sometime. They're going to be closing.
We'll have to revisit their property.
We intended to do that and didn't make it down there.
Yeah.
They're going to be closing up one of their restaurants, the Asian restaurant called Katsuya. They're going to turn that into a high limit room sometime soon. He did specify Bizarre Meat is not going anywhere. So that's kind of their signature restaurant, I would say. It's like the nicest of the restaurant lineup. And they've got Jose Andres. So why would you know, get rid of him?
So that's consistently had good reviews.
Yeah. So that's great that they're, they've committed to keeping that restaurant there. They're going to be adding, they're trying to diversify their restaurant options and have more casual options apparently, and one of them that they're going to be adding is called Uno Mas. It will be a casual Mexican restaurant, so if you like tacos, and who doesn't, another taco option at SLS. They're going to be turning the unused former Foxtail nightclub space into an ultra lounge. I don't know, we'll see what that becomes. Hotel renovations are almost complete, and then comes this. I'm like, oh, this all sounds great as I'm reading several reports of this. This is a quote from Paul Hobson, the president of SLS, regarding the name SLS, which everyone knows is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
It's been obvious for a while for various reasons. He said, we've had conversations around the future name going forward. For now, we are SLS, and we haven't set about any course in particular. Liar. That's a fucking... bullshit. Bullshit. Why fucking lie about this stuff?
Here's why.
Here's how we can pretty well tell it's a lie. If you go to the SLS website, they have renderings up of the awesome changes they're doing. There's some like a renovated bar space. And on some of them, and I have to give a tip of the hat to Steven, a.k.a. VespaJet, for this one. He noticed this before I even saw the renderings and posted it on the Facebook group. On some of the photos, when you look at the URL of the address where the photo is stored, the name of the photo includes Grand Sahara Resort Project.
Huh.
Which, that's been the rumored name for months.
Yeah.
So, you're labeling your fucking files with Grand Sahara Resort. It's on your applications you filed with the county for making renovations, for these changes you've been doing. And why say we haven't set about a specific course? Why not even acknowledge and just say, you know what, when the time comes, if we're going to change the name,
we'll discuss it.
Which, yeah, it'll be at the end of the renovations.
I mean, I get that they want to make a big production about announcing
but
the
name change. But then you don't have to lie about it.
Right.
Don't say we don't have any... All you have to say is... you could say, for now it's still SLS, and we'll announce any changes when they're, you know, when we're ready to.
Exactly.
You don't have to... So yeah. It's going to be completely anticlimactic. I know, Max, I'm fucking pissed too. It's going to be completely anticlimactic when they get done with the renovations and then they go, oh, by the way, guess what? Big rollout, Grand Sahara.
Well, duh. We all knew.
Uh-huh. So there you go. So it just irritates me when they try to act like we're fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You're stupid, Paul Hobson. I don't know Paul Hobson. He's probably a lovely man. Anyway, so there you go. That's what's happening at SLS. They have announced a couple other things, including another comedy residency at Sayers Club, a comedian named Lunel. I'm not familiar with her. Actually, you know what? She's familiar. If you saw her picture, she was in Star is Born. She's been in a few other things.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, she's going to be performing Sundays at 7 p.m. from February 10th through May 12th. Tickets are $40 plus fees and taxes. So if you're a fan of hers, you can see her at SLS. Soon to be Grand Sahara Resort, unofficially. Deep cleansing breaths.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Right outside of SLS. This is good news.
Yes.
I'm a fan of this. They're going to be adding pedestrian bridges on the intersection of Las Vegas Boulevard and Sahara. There's going to be four of them crossing all of the intersections there. This is good news. The bad news is this is not happening for a while. I'm not really sure why... I guess they have long-term planning, and it's part of that. But construction is planned for July 2022 through January 2024. So in 5 years, you'll be able to safely cross the street at Sahara and Las Vegas Boulevard. And really, in 5 years, I would like to think there will be more pedestrian traffic on that end, and they will be more needed.
Between the new resorts, the convention center.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yep. Maybe the festival grounds being used more often over there than they are now. We'll see. So there you have it. There are still some other places that I think maybe they would like to or should get to sooner, but specifically the Harrah's Mirage Crossing and the Bellagio Planet Hollywood Crossing.
That one.
Yep. So we shall see what comes of that. More, yet more kind of rebranding related stuff. Virgin Hotels is taking over the Hard Rock, and with that come a lot of changes. And there was a big announcement this week that Hilton is going to be partnering with Virgin Hotels, and it's going to be part of their Curio collection. Now, this is where I get irritated about branding stuff. How many fucking I can't keep track of this. This is like Cosmopolitan is tied in with Marriott, and it's part of their autograph collection. They have all these different tiers, and I think it's related to how many points it takes to get a free room, right? Essentially, the nicer ones obviously are more, and we'll call those our autograph collection, and we'll... Anyway, if you're a faithful Hilton card holder, you know, a lot of times business travelers are very focused on staying at specific properties to maximize their loyalty rewards. Well, Hilton is going to be tied to Virgin Hotels when it changes over next year or later this year, I guess. So Hilton honors will be accepted. You can earn points. You can use them at Virgin Hotels. the full name now of the property, which no one will use, will be Virgin Hotels Las Vegas, part of the Curio Collection by Hilton. So we've got three different brands in there, three different names.
Sponsored Nobody by will refer to that.
Well, everyone will just call it Virgin. That's it. All the rest of the words, unnecessary. Much like Tropicana, if you've ever... Nobody pays any attention to this. The official full name of Tropicana, which is shorter than it was for a while, but now it is Tropicana Las Vegas, a DoubleTree by Hilton. For a while, it was something like the all-new Tropicana Hotel. So anyway, and that one, you know, doesn't even, people just call it the Trop. Like the Strat. The Strat, a residency, a resident, I can't think of one of those fucking... A Super 8. What is, isn't a Casino Royale is a, it's not a Best Western. It's a, it's like a, an upscale version, not upscale, but a something subsection of Best Western. Like, do you really need to stratify Best Western's properties? Anyway, so much branding this week. All right, moving along. Resorts World and Wynn have settled their dispute. As we've discussed often lately, Wynn was upset with the appearance of Resorts World as it's being built on the North Strip, saying that it looked too much like the Wynn properties. It was violating trademarks, according to them. Resorts World said, nah, that's just what how it looks now as it's going up, but when it's completed, it will be very obvious they are separate properties. Have no idea what exactly they agreed upon, but they have settled. The lawsuit is over. Resorts World can plow ahead with its construction, and Wynn Las Vegas can focus on doing something else. I don't know what. So hooray for lawsuit settlements. Be more fun if we knew what the hell. I suspect it wasn't much. Resorts World's like, oh, we'll paint those separators between the floors red so that they don't look exactly like the ones at Wynn. And Wynn said, okay, then we'll just forget this ever happened. That's my guess. All right, speaking of Wynn...
Overwatch. It could be true, but it's probably bullshit.
A recent article in the Las Vegas Business Press included some speculation that Steve Wynn, former head honcho at Wynn Resorts, has been exploring opportunities to purchase strip property. Now, this is very, very much I heard from somebody who heard from somebody who heard kind like of stuff.
The scene in Ferris Bueller.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a stretch. It was, the article was based on someone speaking at a real estate convention saying that some of his colleagues had indicated that they had heard that Steve Wynn was looking at property. So whether or not there's any truth to this, no fucking idea. If it were to happen, the question is, what would it be? What would he be using it for? I suspect, based on the sexual misconduct allegations that drove him out of his own company, that the chances of him getting a gaming license for a new property are very, 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 very slim. So what does that leave? Maybe a luxury non-gaming slash condo project of some sort? That's all I can come up with. Something without a casino, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll
probably
see.
Shouldn't have a spa either.
Valid. A valid concern given the nature of the allegations. I hadn't thought about that. All right. So that may be happening. I don't know. What should we give this for a percentage? 30? 20? I'm going to go 22. 20,
yeah.
We'll go 22% likelihood that Steve Wynn is going to buy property on the Strip in the near future. All right, another rumor watch item. I'm not going to play the theme again. This one downtown. The website Vegas Changes reports that Binion's is going to open a second floor country and western nightclub above the whiskey liquor outdoor bar. I've been following this a little bit because I came across a filing with the city that happened in September. And it went through the planning commission to get this nightclub thing approved. And they would have, much like the nightclubby thing at Golden Nugget.
That's never open?
It's open like 6 minutes a week. That it would have an outdoor patio. It would be like an open air thing. And it would overlook Fremont Street as well as the stage next to Binion's. So, yeah, this seems there seems to be something to this.
That would be a good idea.
I think so, as far as, any decent views of the stage are always popular when mm-hmm. there's, especially when they have the concert series in the summer.
And you'd be above the fray.
Yeah. The weird thing about this is it went through the planning commission, and usually when something gets approved by the planning commission, it goes before the city council at their following meeting. And I have not been able to locate any indication that this has gone before the city council. So I'm not sure if it still needs some approval, if they're revamping their plans. I don't know exactly what's going on. The article also said they're planning on reopening 80 to 90 rooms at the hotel this spring. Binion's Hotel has been closed for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think it's over 10 years now, isn't it?
Wow.
You might recall they had a fire sale of their old furniture a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew that there was maybe something going on and that there would at least be rumors of reopening rooms. Whether or not that happens, we shall see. We'll keep an eye on this. The person who does social media for Binion's and Four Queens is on our Facebook group. And in the discussion, she chimed in and said, "Yeah, not everything in that Vegas Changes article might be true. So you might want to temper your enthusiasm until the announcement comes out." But the announcement is being crafted and will be coming out very soon.
Oh.
So we shall see what exactly is happening over Binion's. I would expect... Oh, and by the way, does anybody use the term country and Western? Isn't that like a 70s, early 80s theme? Isn't it just country music?
Do people
call it Western anymore? I don't think that's a thing, is it?
Unless you're making the joke, they play both kinds, country and Western.
But that's an old...
Yeah.
When I see that, when I see in a reference, I'm like, oh, the person who wrote this is 95 years old.
Yeah.
All righty. Another downtown note. Don't Tell Mama, the piano bar in Fremont East, has closed. We expected this to happen because it's going to be moving. The new location at Neonopolis will be opening this spring.
Mistake.
Yeah, I know. And then it will close permanently 6 months later. Now, it'll last a little longer than that, but
moving to Neonopolis is not a good idea.
Yeah, it might work out for them because they have a large... They've been around a long time, and I think a lot of the people who go there are probably locals who know the place, and it might be their place.
They would seek it out, yeah.
Hopefully for them. So that is the scoop down...
I've heard good things about that place.
Yeah, I know. We've never made it in there.
You've never made it in there.
Yeah.
You're not really into singing in public, though.
No, I don't like interactive, bar experiences so much.
Yeah.
Not my thing. And finally, as if we didn't have enough news this week, we've got a residency announcement. Christina Aguilera, if you're not familiar with her, that's who that is singing. She's going to be doing a residency at Planet Hollywood at the Zappos Theater starting in May of 2019, just a few months away. I have some thoughts on Christina. But first, some details. The show is called The Experience, spelled without an E, without the first E. It still has three E's, just not the first one. It's Experience, like the letter X.
Capital X.
Capital X, and the reason for that is because, and now here's some confusing, and we go back to branding.
Mm-hmm. Xtina?
Xtina. She also often uses the X instead of Chris and Christina. And by the way, the war on Christina, I've had enough. I want to put the Chris back in Christina. I'm tired of this Xtina stuff. But then wouldn't that mean that this show is called The Crisperience?
That could be.
Here's another song of hers.
It's hard to breathe. Now and then I get insecure.
So Christina, this song, Beautiful.
Honey, you're beautiful no
Thank
matter
you.
What
so
they say.
Thank you, so are you. So Christina, this song reminds me, she was at the cutting edge. Like, you turn on pop radio now, every third song is telling ugly girls how beautiful they are. That's the theme of the song. No matter how fucked up you are, you're a good person. It's a very positive thing. It's a good thing. It's a good message to put out there. But Christina was on the forefront of letting everyone know
that they're beautiful. No matter what they look like, no matter how they feel inside, they're still beautiful, goddammit.
Yep. Which, by the way...
And define ugly. What are your standards?
I'm just being a dick. I don't have any specific standards, but I know it when I see it. But isn't it kind of... Oh, we're moving on. But isn't it sort of ingenuous when you have somebody who's gorgeous like Hailee Steinfeld telling girls that no matter what you look like, they're beautiful?
Uh-huh. Easy for you to say.
How is it easy for me to say?
No, easy for her to say.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, yeah.
I know. You're tall, you're a model, you're an actress, you're everything's going...
You have an entire team to do your makeup and your hair and...
And I get we all have our struggles,
yeah.
But it strikes me as a little...
Disingenuous.
The female empowerment songs sometimes feel a little forced when
uh-huh.
there's like 40 of them in the pop charts at a time. Like, oh, I think this might be striking a chord with some of the young ladies in this country right now. Everybody needs a hug. All right, Christina, let's get back to the experience. 16 shows through early October. There'll probably be more. I suspect this will sell well. She hasn't done a tour in 10 years. She's got a ton of hit songs. She's had a gig on The Voice for quite a while. So, you know, she's still out there, even though she hasn't done a full tour. She's putting music out. What are your thoughts on Christina Aguilera? Are you a fan?
There... Yeah and no. I mean, there are certain songs I really, really like, and there are certain songs I could just be okay not hearing.
Yeah.
And I believe when you told me about this...
Yeah, your reaction was priceless.
Uh-huh. That she fits 50 songs worth of notes into 10 songs.
I know you were impressed by the value you'd get from this show, because she packs in all those extra notes.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. She's one of those people who, like, doubles the number of notes in the national anthem.
Yep.
Takes 15 minutes to get through it. A little vocal wankery going on, but she's got a good voice.
She does.
Tickets range from $60 and up, kind of. I'll tell you why in a minute, plus Ticketmaster fees. Pit is $180 and up. This is one of those shows, and this is very common now. The pricing is dynamic based on demand. So, yes, technically, they start at $60, but if there's a Saturday night show in 2 weeks and there's still tickets available...
You will be paying way more than $60.
Well, even the shows in June, like May and June, the end of May and June, if you look at those, $60 was the lowest ticket, but if... Or, no, $90 was the lowest ticket. But in September... $60, because there's not as much demand for those, they're farther out.
Mm-hmm.
So your ticket costs will vary depending on when you buy and how much demand there is.
Yeah. Okay, I was not a fan of the Dirty era at all.
I did not like that. I didn't include that song in it, so I don't like that song either.
Yeah, but she's like...
She's got some good pop songs.
Like, this is great. Fighter's great.
Yep.
Like, really good workout music. Like, it gets you pumped up.
I would not know. So yeah, I would Planet Hollywood right now. I was looking at their website this morning.
I think this is a good move. I think this will sell really well.
It is a good move, and they need some more acts there, because Backstreet Boys end April 27th.
Okay.
So she's kind of replacing them in a sense, but right now it's just her and Gwen Stefani that are on the calendar once Backstreet Boys are over. So there's plenty of room for additional residencies coming up at Planet Hollywood. I would expect some more announcements soon. I do expect a residency announcement within 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if it's going to be at that theater or not, but the long rumored Def Leppard thing, I've been hearing rumblings.
Ooh.
So,
yeah, I think Planet Hollywood would.
They've got the competition with Park Theater now.
Well, yeah, yeah. I think they need to get somebody other than like a blonde white lady vocalist.
Yeah, I've...
I mean, I like Christina, I like Gwen Stefani, but they need a little more variety, I think.
I'm not... I have a feeling that the Christina Aguilera show would be very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Anything that they book in that theater is going to be a good show. They put on great productions there, and I like some of her songs, I guess, but I'm not... I'd go see Gwen Stefani over Christina Aguilera, I think. I'm just kind of like, meh. I guess if free tickets were dumped in my lap, I'd be happy to go, but I don't think I'll be in a hurry to go see Christina. I do think the show will do very well.
Yeah.
I expect more than 16 shows. So there you go. All right.
It's interesting how Backstreet Boys and Britney
that
and Christina
era.
All have...
Well, so then that raises the big question. Is Justin Timberlake going to end up with NSYNC snacking back together?
No, they are not.
And if they did, it would be for a tour, but... Justin Timberlake would be a logical, I would say probably more for Park, but that's been one of those names that's been hanging out there as a rumor.
And how would you feel about that?
I'd rather eat my own feces, go see Justin Timberlake. Not a fan. Yeah. We've seen NSYNC, though.
We have.
So I've got that one.
They put on a good show.
I don't need to do that again.
Yeah.
Luckily, I was sick and I was so hopped up on cold and flu medicine. Mm-hmm. The whole night is kind of a blur.
We also saw
Bow Wow and Dream.
Yep.
And
Who Let the Dogs Out? Baha Men.
That's the Baha Men. And here's our 25-minute set consisting of one song. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. That's all our news. That was a lot of news this week. And we've got some good phone calls, so let's get to them.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. It's Sergio calling from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Just made my walk down to the Las Vegas Sun for the first time in 16 trips. It was pretty cool. But, man, is that walk brutal. South Strip, there's, like, nothing there. I just had to call to talk to someone because I'm losing my mind. Probably doesn't help that I woke up after, like, 3 hours of sleep and just kept drinking to beat the hangover. But, yeah, like, I know this trip is long, but this is brutal. So I'm sure I'll have some drunk calls later. My buddy's just left this afternoon, so it's time to get the degenerate gambling on. Can't waste any time. I'm dropping $5 in the slot every casino on my way back. Hopefully I'll have some big wins. Call you guys back soon.
All right. Thanks for that call. Yeah, I would advise if you're going to go to the Las Vegas, welcome to Las Vegas sign.
Do some ride sharing.
Yeah, get an Uber or a Lyft.
Yeah. Although, I read recently that exercise is a good hangover cure.
Yeah, but when you've got a headache and you're just
that's like the last thing I want to do.
Yeah, let's go for a long
hike. I'm not going to test this theory.
Let's go for a long hike. Let's fucking rent a car and go out to Red Rock Canyon.
Nope.
And go for a desert hike. That's a way to beat the hangover. I would think that would not be the... I guess it gets the blood flowing and stuff, but mm-hmm. I would think that would contribute more to your dehydration because if you're sweating.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Thanks for that report. We do appreciate it.
My hangover MO is lay in bed because I just do not want to move.
For 4 to 5 days.
Pretty much.
Yep. I try to force myself up and then I don't really get bad hangovers these days, but...
Yeah.
I will try to just hydrate as much as possible and maybe eat something, and that usually does the trick.
I think one of the best hangover cures is not drinking booze.
Yeah, that would probably do it, but that's not as fun.
Not as fun.
All right, moving along.
Hi, Tim, Michelle. What's up, guys? This is JJ from New York City.
Hello.
It's been a while since I called you, and I'm calling back to let you guys know that I went on my first trip with my girlfriend. I've been on a solo trip before, and this is my first trip in a number of years. And I must say that it was a lot of fun. Fremont Street was great. The lights, amazing. First time seeing the Fremont Street experience, and the lights were... It was just a great feeling, especially when you're drunk and you're, like, totally out of it, and then you stumble out of an Uber... And you're just assaulted by all these lights. It's such a great feeling to live music. It's I don't know. It's great. Planet 13, awesome, beautiful. Recommend it to those who are interested in that kind of thing. Got long haul by cab. Step out. Got into a cab. Took the tunnel. I was like, dude, where are you going? It's like, oh, the streets are closed. I'm like, really? That's not good. So we took over the rest of the time. So, yeah, avoid cabs at all costs. We didn't pay the, exorbitant fee. I gave him $20 and told him, you're lucky you got $20. So, all right, watch out for long hauling cabs. In-N-Out Burger, amazing. Bouchon at Venetian. Yes, 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 yes. Please do that. Whatever you do, go there. Just have the chicken and waffles. I don't like chicken. I don't like waffles. Their chicken and waffles are amazing. I didn't have that. I had a taste of that. It was amazing. Everything, service, beautiful. In-N-Out, Venetian slots, very tight. New York, a lot of fun. The New York Casino, so much fun. We had so much fun playing the little racing game, the horse racing game, the Konami Racer Fortune thing. Drunken fun at the most. New York, downtown, Excalibur, the roller coaster. We just had a ton of fun.
I highly recommend
Vegas. Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys know that, right? You don't need my recommendation. Love you guys. Love the podcast. Keep on trucking. Keep on fucking.
All right. Thank you for that call. We do appreciate it. So, like, I love calls like that where you just hear the happiness in somebody's voice with all the fun they had in Las Vegas. They're just like, and then we had fun here, and we had fun here, and oh, that was just so great. Mm-hmm. Yep. He mentioned Fremont Street Experience and, like, the lights, the light show and all that, and I kind of, like, I haven't paid much attention really to the Canopy show in a long time.
Yeah.
When we were in Las Vegas this last trip, we were walking through and there was, I don't know, something playing on the screen. And I know they're going to be doing a complete renovation of that here starting very soon. And it needs it in a bad way.
I noticed a lot of the panels were out.
Yeah, a lot of the bulbs are out and it's not looking great. But I hope... And they have some new interactive features and things they're adding to it. I hope that whatever that becomes is cool because I had this feeling about the Viva Vision show that it's sort of starting to feel like the Caesar's Palace animatronic Atlantis show. Mm-hmm.
Where it just looks super dated.
Yeah, like, oh, this is cool technology in 1992. So we'll see what the changes bring, but... I don't know. I'm starting to swing over to the put this fucker out of its misery crowd on the Fremont Street Canopy. We'll see. I know that when they take the survey of tourists and they ask why they came downtown, there's still a very large percentage that say the Fremont Street experience.
Yep.
But that's the whole thing.
What does that mean?
Right. So I want them to be more specific and like, say...
Is it the light show? Is it the concerts?
I mean, I guess as it is now, that whole concept, the Fremont Street experience, it's like the... Bourbon Street concept. You're going there for the atmosphere and all that entails, the drinking, the, you know, the bands, the music, all of those things. Bands and music, that's probably redundant. But
there used to be free beads, but...
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just wonder if the Canopy is really as big of a draw as it used to be. It might be for first-timers, but I doubt that once you've seen it, you're going back down, oh, we got to see that again. I don't know. So, there you go.
We do not make it to Bouchon often
enough. I know.
Because we don't stay in that part of the strip very often.
And we don't even go down there that often unless we have a reason to. And there have been things we've been meaning to go see and just haven't. They're not high on the list. Mm-hmm. Venetian's an interesting place. There's been some restaurant changes lately we haven't even discussed as far as some new places opening. They have so many fucking restaurants in Venetian, Palazzo, and the shops there. Yep. That the churn is ridiculous in terms of number of places closing and opening. It's no longer even worth keeping track of. Like, if I decide to go down there, I'll take a look and see what kind of restaurants they have. But I'm at that point where it's just hard to even care.
Yeah.
Unless you're spending a lot of time there. But anyway, that's my view on Venetian this week. But yes, Bouchon is awesome. We do need to go back soon. All right. Speaking of excitement when getting to Vegas.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Michelle. Hey, Maximus. We're here at Fremont Street for my dad's 71st birthday. And we're having a great time shooting dice at the Binion. got to run into Derek last night at the 1904. It was a good time.
That's not even a thing.
Love you guys. Bye.
Oh, sure. At the 1904.
Do you mean Bar Prohibition?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. Probably. Golden Gate was opened in 1906, so that's close. Anyway, that's Vegas for you. They're having a good time.
They're having a good time.
We're going to hear back from them in a little bit. In the meantime, here's a different call. We haven't had one of these before.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. It's Gail from the Jersey Shore. Just calling back again because I think my first message was a little frazzled. I learned of your podcast around 9 months ago from my boyfriend, and I am an avid listener and found that the information that you guys provide really useful for my last trip to Vegas in August. And shouting out to my boyfriend, David Kay, in Ocean Township, New Jersey. We were supposed to go on a trip in April to see Aerosmith, and we just broke up on January 11th. And I'm absolutely heartbroken because we had our Vegas wish list, and maybe you guys can just get a message to him and tell him that Gail still loves him, and hopefully we'll get to do that Vegas trip someday. And I really miss him and was looking forward to staying with him at the Mirage. Thank you so much and Happy New Year. And I will continue to listen to the podcast because I really think that your show gives very interesting insights to what's going on in Vegas. as we say in New York, the real deal. Thank you.
All right. I'm not sure how to respond to this one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel horrible for Gail.
Yes.
And I don't know, like, I feel like I'm in a French, you know, like there's a friendship thing where two of your friends break up and like, oh, whose side am I on in this one? I don't have a side because I don't know these folks, but I feel horrible for Gail. Nor do I want to know. Please do not share the details of your breakup. Not interested. Well, I am kind of, but I hope you guys can figure stuff out or else not figure stuff out and amicably move on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have no, part of me was like, maybe we should ask David to call. I don't think that's a good idea.
No.
But if you guys, you know, if at some point you patch things up, let us know. But I hope things work out in whatever way they're going to for the best.
Yep.
Oh, that's horrible. Sorry to bring everybody down. Who feels real uncomfortable right now? I do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for listening to the show, Gail. And I got nothing. You got nothing either, but you're smart. You just quit talking. And I'm like, I'm going to keep talking because I'm uncomfortable and don't know what to do here.
And I'm just going to watch.
Thanks. Thanks for putting me in that situation. Good luck, Gail.
Yes.
Feel bad for you. All right. Next up.
DJ Timothy and the Mish. This is Ken from Chicago.
Wait a minute. Do we have a new moniker now?
No, don't.
Good morning, folks. This is DJ Timothy and the Mish coming at you live.
No.
All right, let's start one over.
Only Ken gets to say that.
All right.
DJ Timothy and the Mish. This is Ken from Chicago from the escalator at the Cosmopolitan. I had a thought about loves casino, hates gambling. Sorry, I've been drinking. So, Las Vegas. Come to Las Vegas. You're the star of your own movie. So, what is the movie set that you prefer? Do you prefer the fancy, luxury Cosmopolitan? Or do you prefer the other sad, oh, God, I should not have called. I'm sorry. My point is, I forgot my point. Okay, never mind, bye.
I love that call.
I love that call so much. We will hear more. Ken is going to collect his thoughts.
Okay.
He's going to pull together the many scattered bits of thoughts he had there, and we're going to hear from him a little bit later. And we're going to understand what he meant.
Okay.
But that was fucking awesome, Ken.
I can relate to that.
It was awesome. I love that call so much. All right, next up.
Tim and Michelle, Derek from Indianapolis.
Hello.
Just got into town for a work trip. It's our work meeting. It's only about 90 of us, though, so lanyard free. So I won't be able to get that lanyard handy that Tim suggested to me on Facebook. Guess I'll just have to rely on my charm. We'll see how that works out. We're staying at the Waldorf Astoria. I was only in my room for about 5 minutes, but damn, that place is nice. But I didn't stick around. I popped right over to Cosmo and got drunk. Didn't even take that long. I'm pretty proud of myself. Anyway, I'll call back later. Bye.
And that was the last we heard of Eric. We hope the rest of your trip went well, but sounds like you were off to a good start there. All righty. Next caller.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. It's Bob calling from London, Ontario. Just wanted to follow up on your timetable for Circa. I'm not sure why you're so skeptical about a 2020 opening, especially December 2020. I was looking at some other major projects on the Strip. Encore took basically 2 years, and that's a lot bigger project than Circa. Even Wynn, I think, was just a shade over 2 years. So I think the fact that they're determined to get this thing done, the property's already completely, you know, flat, they can start from scratch. I don't think December 2020 is necessarily out of the realm of possibility. I mean, anything can happen, but some pretty large hotel casinos have gone up in 2 years or less. So we'll see. I mean, if I was putting money on it, I'd go on Derek's side. Anyway, I've enjoyed your show since 2006, and I continue to do so, and good luck in the future. So long.
All right. Thank you for your call, Bob. Let's go to school. Time for some info. I've got the facts, baby.
Yeah, yeah. What is this chart and dissertation doing in the show notes?
45-minute lecture. Please refer to your PowerPoint presentation now as we go through this. Okay, first I want to mention, I will say, no, yes, as we discussed when Circa was announced, the plan is for that to open in December 2020. I've been skeptical of that date all along.
Mm-hmm.
And I raised this issue with Mr. Derek Stevens, the owner of said Circa. Mm-hmm. And he is very, very confident in the December plan. He's making it very clear that is the opening, and mm-hmm. he's very confident. He did not, however, want to take my bet. I understand that. But he's gung-ho about it opening in December 2020.
And I would like to see it open.
I hope it does. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
My skepticism, however, is based on the history of things opening in Las Vegas, and also that is a very aggressive timeline. I take issue with a couple of the things that Bob said in his call regarding the amount of time it took to open other properties. I did a little research.
Yeah, you did.
Well, part of the reason is I want to make sure that it, like, my perception is in line with reality.
Okay.
So I went back to 25 years, just 25 years to 1994, and all of the strip resort and casinos that have been built in that time frame of 25 years. Mm-hmm. There have been a lot of them. I was able to locate dates, the groundbreaking and opening dates for 13 projects, resort, casino, hotel projects on the strip, and figured out how long it took each of them. So first of all, Encore, the 2-year Encore, no, 31 months, 2.5 years.
Are you going to get a little actually now?
I'm going to get so condescending.
Oh, God.
Wynn Las Vegas, 29 months. So both those were, I would say that's quite a bit over 2 years. It's significantly over 2 years.
Yeah.
So of the 13 projects where I was able to locate dates, only two of them came in under 2 years, under 24 months. And those were The Hotel and Monte Carlo. Other than that, so 11 took more than 2 years. Two took under 2 years. I'm going with the stats on this and saying over 2 years. And we're not even looking at a 2-year time frame. December 20, they haven't started work. I mean, this is from groundbreaking. So we're not talking about ripping something down. That's already done for mm-hmm. all these projects. We're talking from you've got the hole or you've got the cleared ground
mm-hmm.
and you're going to start building. And the average time for all those projects, most of them fell within 26 to 29 months. And we're looking at starting Circa, I believe, in March. Even if it starts this month, February, that's still, you know, we're still looking at 20, that'd be what, 22 months? I don't know. I don't see it happening, but we'll see. And by the way, when I say opening, it doesn't need to have every inch of the property open.
Right.
I think the plan for Circa is for the casino and most of the stuff to be open.
Mm-hmm.
Like the majority of, more than half of the rooms or about half of the rooms mm-hmm. and the casino and
restaurants.
We don't give a shit about meeting space and all that, which they'll wrap up afterwards if needed. But and the pool area can come later because it's the winter.
Right.
So anyway, significantly open is what I would say for the December 2020 date. I hope it happens. I'm still skeptical
mm-hmm.
based on history.
And your personality.
Well, say more about that. Go ahead. What do you mean by that? Just my general skepticism?
Yes.
Well, I am skeptical, but it's based on so many projects.
I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm just...
Yeah, you do. But so many of the projects of this magnitude, there's a date announced and it ends up getting pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to complete a project with this many moving parts on time. And especially, I would say right now, because you've got a ton of other construction projects, so there is going to be a squeeze on labor.
Right.
Now, that was the case in the 90s for some of the other projects mm-hmm. on the Strip. I'll say it's not the first time that's happened. But between the stadium and some of the North Strip projects,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a lot of competition for getting enough people. And then one thing goes wrong and suddenly, you know, some construction materials you need are held up for a couple weeks. It throws off everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's possible to get it done by December 2020, but it's based on everything going right. And the chances of that, I think, are probably pretty slim.
Hmm.
So there you go. We get to watch this together and see how it plays out. Thank you for that call. I was happy to dig in and say, maybe I'm wrong here, and then find out, nope, I'm fucking right. All right. And as always, I will be happy to admit if I'm wrong on this. If December 2020, if it when it opens, if it opens then, whenever it opens then, I want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another thing, by the way. We might as well start preparing people now.
Yeah.
New resort openings do not go well.
Right.
So as excited as I am for the opening, mm-hmm. I'm also like, yeah, but I'm going to have another room booked down the street because shit's going to not go, things are not going to go perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, I remember during the era of Wynn and Encore and Cosmo and Aria mm-hmm. and those places opened, they those openings did not necessarily go super smooth.
Yeah. People waited a long time for the rooms and they might not have received the correct room or they might have received a room where stuff wasn't working. And
it's hard to work out all those bugs. Yeah. So I'm already prepared for, like, I want to be staying at Circa when it opens if possible.
But
I'm going to have a room down at El Cortez just in case. All righty. Moving along. Thanks for that call, Bob. We appreciate it. Here's Colby.
Tim and Michelle, Colby from Portland calling again with a trip report. I actually just called and left you a voicemail, but I think that message was not my best effort. So let me try this again. We were in Las Vegas for 2 days, pretty much cold and rainy the entire time we were there. So we basically stayed pretty close to the Mirage where we were staying. The wife had some time in the spa, which she loved. I had some time in the poker room, which was lovely. Overall, it was a great trip. But something that struck me that I've heard a little bit, you know, kind of talked about in terms of the corporatization of Las Vegas, I was really surprised at the lack of customer service that employees are able to provide. One example is we had an issue with a MyVegas comp where, you know, it took us over an hour at the Players Club to get a $15 food credit, and they realized that it was a bad experience, and so they gave us this lovely voucher for a free meal, which that was a lovely gesture. Came up towards the end of the second day of our trip, and so it wasn't something we really could use, and so came back to the Players Club a couple hours later and said, this isn't something we're going to be able to use. Is there any chance you could just, you know, knock off one of the breakfasts that we had that were, you know, like $30 or $40 off the tab? They couldn't do it. And I find that really surprising at a place that's known for, you know, taking care of guests, and, you know, comps are part of the culture there, that, you know, the Players Club can't say, hey, you've got a voucher for a $50, you know, meal because of our screw up. We can't take $30 off instead for something you've already charged the room. Just struck me as odd and kind of disappointing, but overall, still a wonderful trip. And thank you guys for all of your recommendations and all that you do, of course. And hopefully we'll be able to call back in another, you know, 3 to 6 months with another report. Talk then. Bye.
All right. Thanks for the report. I have thoughts.
I'd like to hear them.
All right. First of all, it's ridiculous that you should have to wait that long for anything at a Players Club, but mm-hmm. it's not atypical.
Yeah.
My thought would be, if you're waiting for a $15 voucher for an hour, at some point you got to cut your losses and go, my time is more valuable than $15. But still, it's not making an excuse. Not happen.
Right.
As a general rule, the Players Club employees, as lovely as they may be as people, a lot of them are doing a job that's like one step above something a trained monkey could do. They're not.
Go on.
The players, I think there's an expectation a lot of times that Players Club people are going to have all kinds of information and know how things work. They're transactional. They often know how to give you a new player's card. If there's a promotion, they can add that to your card. There's a handful of things that they do efficiently because they do it all day. And then beyond that, pretty worthless based on my knowledge. If you're looking for any additional, like, hey, I heard about this promotion that you have that I can, you know, email you. And if it's something beyond what they do every day, where it's something like you have to sign up for on their website or something, they don't know what the fuck's going on. And the idea that they're going to be able to comp something that you already did, no, I wouldn't expect that at all. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying I have very low expectations for Players Clubs. When you go up there for anything at all, it's like you're trying to fucking buy, like, it's like you're trying to do a hostile takeover of a Fortune 500 company. Nothing should take that many keystrokes. They're very inefficient systems. That's not even employee related. That's just
it's not the employee's fault. It's the fact that you have to key in all this stuff to get.
And I get that there's, you know, when you're dealing with comps and stuff, there's mm-hmm. security stuff involved, but yep. I'm always like, what the fuck are you typing in? It's sort of like when you check in at the hotel. Mm-hmm. What could possibly take that many keystrokes? as part of this relatively basic transaction, there's like three keys. They have to get the president's approval on one of them. I don't know what the hell's going on. But anyway, the other thought I had on this is they did make it right in the sense they offered you a free voucher.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact that you couldn't use that, that's not really their problem. Mm. So I have mixed feelings about this. I get it. I think it's more...
I think the lesson that I took away is that MyVegas is way more fucking trouble than it's worth.
I know. That's why I haven't used it in years.
Yeah.
There's that too.
I mean, it used to be way more value for the time you put into it. And now I feel like the time exceeds the value, whether it's playing the stuff or waiting in line. It just, it's not worth it to me personally.
I agree.
If you still find it valuable, go to.
Yeah.
But I have chosen to not participate.
So I totally get Colby being bummed about like that they didn't meet his expectations. I'm just wondering if the expectations might have been a little bit higher than what a Players Club rep is.
Also, if you're a Players Club rep, please send your mail to 500@gmail.com.
Send it to Hunter Hilligus at the positive mail goes to 500@gmail.com. Any complaints go to Hunter@ratevegas.com.
Okay.
That's how it's been throughout the history of the show.
All
I'd
right.
like to keep it that way. There's going to come a day that Hunter actually gets hate mail for me, which is going to be awesome. That day may be today. All right. Sorry that it didn't work out exactly as hoped, Colby. I get it. It's frustrating whenever you have a customer service issue that doesn't meet expectations. And, you know, I'm sure that somewhere back there in the bowels of the Players Club, maybe there's a supervisor who could do something, but I don't know. Generally, once you make that purchase, they're not going to be able to undo it for you at that level.
Here's a random thought.
Yes. Like, why not? We're having random thoughts all over. I'm enjoying the show, by the way. I'm having a lot of fun, even though I'm being kind of a dick about it. That's how this show works. People know.
I'm amused by you being a dick. So.
I know. It's based on our relationship.
I'm surprised that casinos haven't figured a way to make things a little more efficient. And the casinos that do would be way ahead of the others.
Yeah.
Like hotel check-in, Players Club, other things.
I'm a little bit surprised that there hasn't been way more automation of the Players Club thing since they've been pushing the hotel check-in
automation.
That way.
Yeah.
They've got 45 kiosks to check in and two people working the desk.
Mm-hmm.
Players Club, they've got six people working the desk, and you might have a kiosk for certain functions, but you can't usually print a new card, and that's what a lot of people are waiting to do.
Right. And I still don't think the hotel kiosk check-in is
great.
It's
not great. Yeah.
But
is it
not a moneymaker for them that they don't want to invest in?
Well, it's got to be. They put all kinds of, they put so much focus into loyalty clubs because it's all about getting customer data, which is the basis for all their marketing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very valuable service.
Yeah. So
yeah,
somebody
you're right.
revolutionized this shit.
Yeah. Why the hell haven't they innovated that?
Yeah. All right. There's some software company out there that could do this, and I would be glad to be a technical writer for
even
you.
Even something as simple with a Players Club is having, you know, a lot of times they'll have separate lines depending on your card level.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Laurel Collection line, of course.
The Laurel Collection.
I would think that there would probably be at least one slot function that takes over, or one Players Club function that is... I'd say like printing off a new card if you already mm-hmm. have one. Let's say if there's a certain number, and I'm using that as an example, I don't know, but if that's something that they're continually doing all day, wouldn't you want a separate line just for that?
Yeah. Or
versus new signups, or maybe they have a new signup line. I don't know. It seems like there'd be a better way to split those things out to make some transactions a little bit more efficient.
And think about your VIP players. Every minute they're standing in line is a minute they're not gambling.
Well, and that's why they do separate it out by card level, I would imagine. But you're right. The fact that he was standing there for 15 minutes waiting for a $15 thing. How much money?
15 minutes? I thought it was an hour.
I mean, an hour waiting for $15.
Yeah.
How much money did they lose in the casino because he was standing in that line waiting for his $15 voucher? They lost the $15 for the voucher, and they lost an hour of potential gambling or dining or whatever time.
Shopping or whatever.
So, yes, Players Clubs, there you go. If you're running a casino and you need to figure out a place to innovate, that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm glad we had this discussion. I feel like we covered a lot of ground here.
Uh-huh.
We have some more calls, though.
I feel we're improving the world.
We're trying. We've got all of the fucking answers. Again, my consulting business where I just stand in the corner and shake my head no whenever they run an idea by me.
Still available.
There's more use for that than ever before. And I'll do it mobily. I'll do it by Skype.
Yeah.
You can just message me in and you say, hey, Tim, we here at Super X Casino Company, we've got some great ideas. And we'd like to run them by you. And then they run them by me one at a time and they present their idea. And then they just all look at the screen and I sit there and go, no. Or once in a while I might go, uh-huh. Or I might offer a suggestion like, why don't you fuckers innovate your slot club line system? Airlines keep fucking with the way that they board airplanes to make them more efficiently. Can't you guys figure out how to make people.
They have not found a way to do that yet, but
They shave seconds off every time they fuck around with it. They shave like 6 seconds off and we don't see it, but they're doing it for a reason. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the Players Club, yes, there's a major need for some changes there. We're helpful, man. People should be listening to this shit. All right, moving along. Next caller.
Hey, 500. Sorry about that crazy voicemail earlier, but hey, we're having a great lunch here at Latai. We're having fun playing crap up and down Fremont Street. Table's been kind of cold, like the weather.
That'll happen.
But the food over here at Latai is great, very spicy. We're having spring rolls, waterfall beef. We've got a Tomka guy. Of course, we've got the Singer beers. They're up and running. Great operation here. Kitchen staff is great, and the waitress, excellent. She recognized us from last time. Anyway, hopefully we'll turn our luck around. Big shout-out to everybody from Texas. Love the podcast. Love everything you guys do. Thanks so much for doing what you do, and we'll talk to you here in Vegas. Bye.
All right. Thank you for that call, random stranger who did not give his name when he called, but we appreciate your thoughts anyway.
I love Latai.
I know. Me too. I'm not going to lie. This call, when I pulled it yesterday, that's what led to my Thai food craving that led to our dinner last night.
Mm-hmm.
We have a local little Thai place that it's not Latai, but it's pretty damn good, and it serves the purpose between trips.
Yep.
And I will be having leftovers for dinner tonight.
Same.
All right. I do have to say, in line with what he said, the service at Latai when we've been in there is fantastic.
Yeah.
The food comes out really fast.
Yep.
They do a bang up job. Like, I wanted to go into the kitchen and tell them I love you guys when we were leaving last time. Like, they do such good work. They're fast. The food is dependable and good.
Yep.
Big fan of that place. All righty. Next up.
Hello, Tim and Michelle. This is Matt from Denver. Just, calling to give a quick review of the Cosmopolitan sports book. Christian and I came out for a quick trip to watch our beloved Chiefs lose in the AFC Championship game. But we hadn't used the Cosmopolitan sports book booking system online. And actually, we checked in at the sports book. They didn't, they were all booked. They basically do all the comfy seats up front. Their online booking system was all for the bar area. And we asked the bartender about it. They really didn't have much information. They just, unfortunately couldn't give us much details, but we went ahead and booked online and, it worked out great. It was, $100 a seat, and that it basically comes with drinks and food for the $100, and we got a great basic, round bar table with seats and great view of the game, and service was great, as always at Cosmopolitan, and, with the Rams game ending with overtime, it was a bit chaotic, but we got a table before the Chiefs game started up, and other than the losing, had a great time. Anyway, it was the online booking system worked great. It was a little clunky as far as the staff not knowing how to actually work. But game day, we booked the day before, worked great. And I guess thumbs up on that. And that's it. Otherwise, a great trip. Fuck the Patriots. Later. Hey, this is Matt again. I just wanted to add the great thing about seeing your team in Vegas is even if they lose, you're still in fucking Vegas. Woohoo!
There we go. You can guess how his team did last week, or 2 weeks ago, whenever the hell that was. Last week, nobody had a team. The Pro Bowl, nobody cares.
No.
Yeah. Good report. So yeah, that was the thing. They did reserve seating at the sports book at Cosmo. We were wondering how that would work, so I'm glad he gave a full report. Mm-hmm. The bartender was a little nervous about, or not nervous, but he was like, yeah, I don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah.
So I don't know that they've done that a lot with events, but.
And again, it's interesting how, like, you've got the bar right there and this thing is happening a few feet away, but they have no idea what's going on.
But that's, again, but that's, it's a separation again,
it's
of
such a siloed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. All right. Thanks, Matt. It was good to see you.
It's not the bartender's fault. It's just.
It's just how it works at these big places. Good to see you and Krish, by the way.
Yes, wonderful to see you both.
As always. All righty. Next caller, please.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Michelle. This is Martha. First time caller, long time listener. Great topic. Love the show. So me and my sister met you in Golden Nugget with our mom. So it was our triumphant return to Vegas. So a little bit of the background, you'd have to know that our parents took me and my sister to Vegas on each of our 21st birthdays. So we've had lots of family fun times there. So our family would go to Vegas at least one time a year, with various friends and family. So my mom hasn't been to Vegas in about, we figured about 8 to 10 years. So while she was, during that time, she was dad's caregiver. So he passed back in March, unfortunately. So the trip was great for us to fill with lots of memories and lots of, you know, sharing of the stories. So it did turn out to be a wonderful trip. So our trip report, we went to the D for dinner in their fancy, fancy restaurant on Andiamo's. Was fabulous. We had a great time there. The next day we spent several hours, I would say about 5 to 6 hours at the Mob Museum, which was really cool. We had the audio tour with that, which I would recommend. Really cool. Loved that. And then after that, we were so starving, we ate at Pizza Rock, which was some of the best pizza we've had. So I just want to call and say hi. And it was great to meet you too. I think we scared you when we saw you because it was after a day drinking of a lot of gin and tonics. But it was wonderful to see you guys. And I hope you had a great rest of your trip and that you came home to warmer temperatures than us with single digits and a couple inches of snow. But we just want to say we love the show. Keep up the good work. And it was really good seeing you guys. Take care. Bye.
All right. Thanks for the call. It was really nice seeing you, too.
Yes, it was fun.
It was a delightful conversation and encounter we had at Golden Nugget.
Yes.
Meeting you and your sister and your mom. That was really nice. So thank you for saying hi and for being so nice to us. Mm-hmm. It was like, rather, you didn't scare us at all.
No, it was very nice.
It was very nice. I mean, how could we not walk away from that, you know, with how could we, I'm like doing double negatives. We walked away from that with big smiles on our face. Like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, those people were so nice to us.
Yeah.
So thank you for saying hello and saying all those kind things you did.
And I'm glad you had a wonderful time.
Yeah. Seems like a great trip. All right. Final call. We're going to figure out what the hell Ken was talking about earlier in that amazing call from Cosmo.
All right. I'm going to try again. So you come to Las Vegas to be anybody that you want. And some casinos are more conducive to being that person who you want to be just by the basis of the surrounding and the service and how it makes you feel. Now, the gambling at that particular place may be shit, but if it's the thing that you wanted to do, that you came to Las Vegas for, it makes you feel like, Mr. Fancy or whatever you feel like, then that's your place. Gambling can suck. Still love the casino. Those are my thoughts. Gonna go. All right. Take care. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Ken. That's as good of a theory as any I've heard. I appreciate that.
What casino makes you feel like Mr. Fancy?
I don't know. Well, see, now I wouldn't necessarily feel like Mr. Fancy at Cosmo because I feel...
Do you feel underdressed at Cosmo?
No, because I don't care.
Right.
I don't necessarily feel the need to change anything in order to better fit in at a specific place. Mm-hmm. And I get that some people are uncomfortable in those environments. I'm not because I don't care. And mm-hmm. I assume that most people are so worried about themselves, they're not giving a shit what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not necessarily, feeling fancy isn't necessarily my goal, mm-hmm. I guess. But I do like, it's weird because our like hotel and casino preferences cover a pretty wide range.
Yeah.
And they have historically, like even as far back as when we used to stay all the time at Barbary Coast. Mm-hmm. And you take a place like that and they yet, you know, we also like on occasion to book a ridiculous suite at Cosmo or something like that.
Right.
It's two pretty different ends of the spectrum. And obviously, like, we're not staying at Hostel Cat or we're not all the way at that end of the spectrum. But I think there's a bit of a range as far as our preferences. And maybe that's even during a single trip, there are different environments that make me feel good, whatever it is about it. So maybe, you know, different places cater to different moods at any different moment even. Hmm. I don't know. As far as the fancy thing, even when we have like an awesome suite, it's not like I feel the need to like, oh, let's get a really nice room service meal and sip champagne. It's like, no, mm-hmm. fuck it. I'm going to still be drinking the same shitty rum and Coke as I drink anywhere else and running around wearing shorts and I don't know. But yeah, I get what he's saying, and I there's something to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to the place that makes you feel
wherever you're comfortable.
Best. Yeah.
It's just a matter of comfort and happiness and like, mm-hmm. oh, yes, this makes... And sometimes you can't pinpoint it.
Right.
Yeah. But that's one of the great things about Vegas. If you do want to live differently, you know, you can for a couple days. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. I love that place.
Yes.
All right. That's all of the calls we're doing this week. We do appreciate everyone for phoning in. We've got some more queued up for next week, I believe. But keep them coming. 702-866-9494 is the voicemail line. We love to hear from you guys. You always have good thoughts and interesting things to say. That was a good batch of calls. I enjoyed them a great deal. Mm-hmm. Okay. Before we go, a couple other people to thank for some karma donations, including Greg. I bet we'll be hearing from Greg. He always has some great phone calls after his trips.
Yes.
Karma donation for a quick Super Bowl weekend trip. Planning to avoid everything having to do with the, quote, big game.
So do we.
Yeah, I've got no interest in it this year.
I just don't not care.
Have no attachment to either teams. Halftime's going to be horrible because Maroon 5 is the most milquetoast fucking band. Like what, Matchbox 20 wasn't available? Jesus Christ, that's the best you can do? We have this history of awesome, or at least, you know, Super Bowl halftime shows that even if it's not the greatest musicians, there's certainly an appeal. Like, I don't mm-hmm. give a shit about Justin Timberlake, but a lot of people love him.
Yeah.
So the fact they get somebody like that, or Katy Perry, or, you know, going back to the groups I like more, Tom Petty and Springsteen and Prince and all those, U2. But then you get fucking Maroon 5. Who's clamoring for that shit? I know they've got like 10 fans, but the general public's not excited about halftime this year at all, from what I can tell. All right, whatever. Thank you as well to Cliff and Susan Vaughn from Columbus, Ohio. Karma donation for a Super Bowl trip as well. Hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Yep.
And finally, Pete from the infamous duo Pete and Donna. They're part of podcast history. They were the only people to show up for our first ever 500 meetup at O'Shea's. Mm-hmm. We'll remember them forever because of that.
Yep.
Pete is heading to Vegas for a guy trip in just a couple days, looking for a little 500 karma love. Well, we hope you have a great trip.
Yes.
And wish you the best of luck. And yeah, thank you to everyone for your support of the show. Thank you to all of our callers. As always, you can find us at 500bymidnight.com. You can email us your Dear Tim and Michelle questions at 500@gmail.com. Remember, hate mail goes to hunter@ratevegas.com. You can... I love that bit. You can find us on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And, of course, the voicemail line is 702-866-9494. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. And we will be back soon with another show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.